Hoc enim sentite in vobis, quod et in Christo Jesu. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Jesus Christ, true God and true man, is the pattern of our Christian life. It is his blood that redeems us, and it is his divine virtue that remakes us as brothers together with him, into co-heirs of the life to come, as we are born to the new world he has won by the victory of his cross. The perfection to which we are called in Christ is not a feeble imitation of his divine example. It is the forming of Jesus Christ again within us, the perfect conformity to the thoughts and affections of the Sacred Heart of Jesus Christ. As St. Paul says in the passage already quoted, let nothing be done through contention, neither by vainglory, but in humility. Let each esteem others better than themselves, each one not considering the things that are his own, but those that are other men's. For let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being made in the likeness of men, and in habit found as a man, he humbled himself, becoming obedient unto death, even to the death of the cross, for which cause God also hath exalted him, and hath given him a name which is above all names. It belongs to charity, says Blessed Columba Marmion, quoting St. Thomas Aquinas, to transform he who loves into the beloved. Therefore, as our love of Christ becomes more perfect, we will be more and more conformed to his very mind, to the very sentiments that animate his Sacred Heart in each of his blessed mysteries. This conformity is first made possible by our baptism. We have been baptized into the death and resurrection of Christ, but it is made perfect under the mantle of the Blessed Virgin Mary, in whose womb are to be found, according to St. Louis de Montfort, all those destined to be saved by her, to be saved by being made into the image of her Son. Our conformity to Christ by Mary's intercession is further made perfect by reliving each of the mysteries of our redemption, which we do, as Blessed Columba Marmion explains, by meditating principally on the Gospels. The first and most privileged way to meditate on the Gospels is, of course, the Sacred Liturgy. As Dom Marmion explains, what the Gospels often do not reveal by their words, the Sacred Liturgy will reveal to us by the juxtaposition of other sacred texts. The example Dom Marmion uses is the crucifixion and death of our Lord. In the Gospel accounts, little is revealed to us of the thoughts animating the Sacred Heart during the 3 hours of agony as he washes our sins by his blood flowing down from the cross. However, Holy Mother Church reveals to us a glimpse of those sentiments by offering to our meditation Psalm 23 with the very moment it prophesied. Suddenly, in the midst of our Lord's agony, his very thoughts are laid bare. Quote, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All they that saw me have laughed me to scorn. He hoped in the Lord, let him deliver him. Let him save him, seeing if he delighteth in him. But I am poured out like water, and all my bones are scattered. My heart has become like wax, melting in the midst of my bowels. But thou, O Lord, remove not thy help to a distance from me. Look towards my defense. Save me from the lion's mouth. In the words of David, the abandonment of our blessed Lord, the unspeakable sorrow that afflicts his Sacred Heart are revealed to us. But we also see the invincible love and confidence in his Heavenly Father and the victory that rises even as he dies for our sake. Each mystery, thus properly meditated, offers a special grace corresponding to the very mystery itself. The Paschal mystery of which we have just been speaking, and which we will soon see reproduced before our very eyes at Holy Week, bears with it the special grace of a new death to sin for all those who observe it faithfully. This liturgical meditation can be made still more profound and more effective by approaching the sacred mysteries through the patronage of a privileged witness. The program we propose to you for the presentation and for the preparation of the great feast of our patriarch and universal patron Saint Joseph is to enter into the sentiments of Christ under the very patronage of the most privileged witness to the early mysteries of our salvation, our very guardian of Holy Church, Saint Joseph. Just like the careful meditation of the sacred liturgy, by approaching the mysteries of the infancy of our Lord through the eyes of our patron, and by being united with his purest heart, we will unlock the special graces of our Lord's infancy, virtues of humility and trust, through the seven joys and sorrows of our patriarch, Saint Joseph. How, you might ask, could the sentiments of Saint Joseph help us to enter into perfect conformity with Christ? Father Francis Philus, the renowned Jesuit Josephologist, helps indicate an answer. Quoting St. Thomas, Father Philus says that, quote, "Those whom God chooses for an office, he prepares and disposes in such a way that they become suited to it. Furthermore, to the degree that something approaches its source, by so much does it participate in the effect of that source." End quote. Therefore, Saint Joseph, chosen by God to be the true spouse of the Most Blessed Virgin Mary and to be the foster father to our Lord Jesus Christ, was strengthened with the graces necessary to accomplish his high vocation. Furthermore, by his proximity to our Lord Jesus Christ, who was made obedient to him as father and head of the Holy Family, and also by the bond of marriage that united him to the holiest of virgins, Saint Joseph comes closer than any to the supereminent dignity of the Blessed Virgin Mary. Simply put, Joseph receives holiness at its purest source, directly from the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ, and after all the saints, none is to be revered more than Saint Joseph. The Holy Ghost himself explains that Saint Joseph was filled with every virtue by calling him in the Gospel of Saint Matthew a just man. Therefore, our Blessed Joseph, after the Blessed Virgin Mary, was more conformed than anyone to the sentiments of the Sacred Heart of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is no surer path to union with the Sacred Heart of Jesus and the Immaculate Heart of Mary than through the purest heart of Saint Joseph. None can surpass his love and reverence for our blessed Lord and Lady. None can equal his virtue as a father and protector to these holiest of charges. Therefore, the purest heart of Saint Joseph is undoubtedly a faithful mirror of the sentiments of the sacred and immaculate hearts. The virtues we will contemplate therein and the sentiments we will admire together are the holiest of reflections of these two sacred hearts. Join us then as we contemplate the mysteries of our Lord's infancy through the joys and sorrows, through the eyes of Saint Joseph. Let us place ourselves, our families, and this, his shrine, under his paternal care. Let us lay at his blessed feet our fears and worries and offer our most ardent intentions together with our loving praises during this sacred novena and on his sacred feast. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.